Mind the Lawn with Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscape. We've brought the water up from the street. We've gone through our pressure backflow preventer,
pressure
regulator.
Vacuum
breaker. There's like nine different words, names for it.
Well, there are a lot of words to describe it.
Now we've got our Schedule 40 pipe to our irrigation box.
The control valve, correct.
And we're going to start talking a little bit about our station setup and everything. But this is a call-in show, so let's get to a couple calls first before we jump into our next progression along the system. And the point of all this is so you get a picture of what everything underground looks like. And then we'll start going backwards to troubleshooting common problems that most of us run into, like running over with the lawnmower, busted valve here, a geyser over there that you come home at the end of the day. Why is there always water running down this part? So we'll get to all that. But first, we're going to start with Marilyn. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a next-door neighbor who used to backwash her pool in the corner, and of course it would come onto our side of the fence. And it's been about 3 years now, but it dawned on me, we didn't plant anything for 2 years, but last year we had some plants planted over there, and nothing grows over there. They died. I've got a queen palm that's been in the ground almost a year, and it's deader than a doornail. And so it dawned on me, I wondered if the chemicals from the pool is causing the problem.
Well, that's a possibility. Of course, you mentioned queen palm. That's a whole other subject. That's a plant that we have a little difficulty growing here to begin with. It has some very unique requirements, likes to have a very loose soil, and we don't have that. It doesn't like hot wind, which we have lots of, and it likes a lot of water. It's a very tropical plant, not a desert palm by any means. So if that wasn't the problem, and we think something's accumulated in the soil, this might be an opportunity where you may want to take a sample in and actually take it to a lab and have it tested. And it's not that expensive. The folks over at the Maricopa County Extension Service can give you a lead onto a lab. I don't recall the exact name of it, but we've sent samples in before. It's very, very, very informative to get that list back of what's wrong with the soil. What does it need to grow plants? And you know, what do you have too much of? What do you not have enough of? And then they'll give you suggestions for correcting the soil chemistry. So something people don't always think about, but it's really not that big of a deal. It's not that hard to do, and it's not that expensive.
And it'd be cheaper than planting something else and waiting a whole nother year only to find out.
Could keep throwing them to the wolves, but see if something sticks. I you know, solve the problem first.
And that is the Corporate Extension Office?
Maricopa County, it's the U of A Extension Service, we can help out. If somebody wants to give me a call, I can get you more information.
Sounds good. We appreciate the call. It opens the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Back into our irrigation box.
Mm-hmm.
We have
spent a lot of time in there.
we're going out to a lawn.
Yes.
So what type of part are we looking for that control valve?
Well, the actual valve itself, there are different products on the market. If anybody's listened to me over the last few months, they'll hear me use the word Rainbird a lot. I like Rainbird. I really do like their products, and I'm not getting paid for this. But I really like Rainbird. They make a product called a 100 DVF. That's an excellent control valve. 100 DVF. And that's available at places like our friends over at Sprinkler World of Arizona and others. But using a quality product, the valve is what's called a balanced pressure design. Suffice to say, it's a long-lasting product, much better than a lot of the other things in the market. And, you know, you go to the home outlet store and you look at the boxes and you read all the little descriptions and your eyes glaze over. You don't know what's best. Ask a pro, and they'll tell you what they don't have to fix. That's what we like. So once you've moved beyond that valve, now you're into the lateral piping and going out to the actual sprinklers.
What are we using to connect all these together? Because I had said something about, you know, let's talk about gluing, and you got
correct.
The purple thin liquid primer that dyes your hands that
you find every cut on your hand, right? If you get that on your hands,
and then
ouch.
You got the glue, and sometimes if you're not careful and you're not paying attention, you can push those pipes together and only be a half, a quarter inch. You're not the full. I mean, I always make sure I make a mark with a Sharpie so I know I've pushed it all the way in. I'm not stuck just, you know, hanging on.
Good point. That is good. As installers, piping has writing on the side of it. We'll look at the writing to see if we've got it fully socketed. That's a good tip. But you're not really gluing pipe. You're solvent welding it.
Solvent welding.
Yes. It's actually a weld, if you will. You're putting a solvent on the outside of the pipe and a solvent on the inside of the fitting. Not too much. Again, read the can. When you push it together and twist a little bit, the outside of the pipe and the inside of the fitting being basically semi-fluid from the solvents, they combine to be one. And if you do it right, that solvent-welded fitting is stronger than the fitting. It's stronger than the pipe. So it's a really solid joint. It's not really a glue joint. It's truly solvent welding. And I have a secret weapon, something I've been taught, my father showed me many years ago. There's a product, if you want to glue piping or solvent weld it, as we say, it's IPS 721 blue glue.
And is that the brand name, IPS?
IPS is the brand name. You can get it at places, again, like Sprinkler World, other Sprinkler suppliers in town. And it's a different product from using the two-step process people see with the purple primer you spoke of and the clear glue. Not that you can't assemble a decent glue joint with those products, but why use two things when you can use one?
It'll hold. It does it both.
Fantastic.
A lot of times when we're talking interior paint and you got the primer and the paint color in one, it's they'll tell you stay away from it.
721 blue glue. That's a secret. I just let one of my secrets out.